I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Nothing to worry about now because we're currently wanted.
Jack, you're not helping.
But canonically, that's not me, and it's frustrating.
Doran, don't worry about it.
That tension, where'd it go? We've been trying to build it.
R.I.P. that guy.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how I could prove this to you, but I've done nothing wrong.
We got to have all our options open, right?
Do you know what that word means?
It tastes real bad.
I hammer more in and I'll do it.
Oh, never mind.
I don't have to give this to him.
He's hurting right now.
My exit plan is turn into a bug and leave.
That's always your exit. That's not even your exit plan. That's normally your plan.
I feel like Murray wants to go retire and be a spider. So just find a nice corner somewhere.
Guys, I am half spider right now.
1 foot in the web over here. Let me out of here.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is season 2, episode 81, A Fly on the Wall.
MVP this week is Candy Corn. Candy Corn writes, heartbreaking. Local woman only has 2 episodes of Dice Shame left, but has developed a dependency. I'm sorry for the dependency, Candy Corn.
We know the feeling well.
You are this week's MVP.
Congratulations.
All right, should we play some D&D?
Yeah, let's do it.
Woo!
Woo-woo!
It's been a rough go of it trying to get to a session, actually.
We're here.
Yeah.
We made it.
I'm so glad everyone made it. Rob, I hate to point the finger at you, my friend.
It's all Rob's fault.
Robbie.
I mean, we only had to cancel twice because of my car or lack thereof.
Two times in a row. 2 days in a
well,
row. How did that happen?
I mean,
I'm in love with my car.
We technically didn't have to cancel the first date. But we did anyways. But
we thought we did.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you take your car to a place and you're sure you know when you're going to go pick it up. And so you go there and you wait back to hear from the guy. And it's like, oh, yeah, sure. Right at the time we're going to record. Just come by and pick it up. And then 10 minutes before that, it's not ready. I'll call you back. And then you don't hear back and you don't hear back. And you're like, well, any minute now, we can't record because I have to go get my car. Except I didn't hear back till midnight that it would be back the next day.
Wait, they called you at midnight?
Yeah,
he texted me at midnight to say, oh, actually, come pick it up tomorrow.
Yeah. Somehow that's more deranged.
Hold on, this car place texted you?
Well, I
working on my night car.
Yeah, like the idea of like my mechanic texting me to be like, hey, you up?
Hey, bro, you up?
So upsetting.
I mean,
know your car?
So they...
Ew. Booty call, but... boot like the trunk of a car.
They close at 6. I called him at 5:30 and was like, hey, can I come get my car? He's, oh, I'll go check if it's done. I'll call you back.
He
didn't call me back. 6 o'clock when they're closed technically, but open finishing stuff up, he didn't call me back. We get into like 7:30. I'm trying to call him. He's not picking up. He's ghosting me. 8 o'clock, I'm like, they gotta be closed, I guess. So I texted him because I had his number and he's like, oh yeah. Left it till midnight when he got back to me. So like, oh, fuck, whatever.
What the hell?
So,
wasn't it supposed to be ready at like 3 o'clock on that day?
Well, so that's the next day when he says it'll be ready at 3 o'clock.
Right. So we're like, okay, for sure everyone can record the next day. No problem. We'll just push it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it.
Not an issue. Rob will have his car.
Yeah.
And Rob can't record without his car.
He records in his car.
He needs his safety car.
Oh,
have you all not been picturing Jack in a car this whole time? Oh, yeah, that was a really important character choice. I forgot to mention.
Jack,
yeah.
Drive fast.
Every time you see Jack from the beginning of the podcast, he's sitting with one arm out the window in a car.
He's a robot in disguise.
Car is
this
actually
whole time.
Really big part of his personality.
Oh my God.
No, he's just a car.
Kieran
is sitting in a car.
Kieran is a car.
Oh God.
Yeah. So I wish that was the end of it. But the next day, 3 o'clock, I call him like, okay, I'm going to come pick up my car, right? He says, it would be 4 o'clock, actually. Okay, fine. 4 o'clock,
sure.
Calls. It'll be 5 o'clock, actually. I'm like, all right, fuck
oh
it.
God.
Still 2.5 hours. That's okay.
I think at 5:30, I walk down there because it's at least the only saving grace is it's like 15 minutes from my house to walk to.
Mm-hmm.
So 5:30, I get there. I'm like, it's got to be done. I'm a half an hour after they said it'd be done. They've had it for 2 days.
Just to frame this, what was the work being done on it?
There was a bunch of little shit, but the big thing was the rear brake caliper went, and so it was making a real good squeal noise when I was trying to get it home, and it was like, I can't drive
well, the
this.
Rear brake caliper, you know, that's going to take at least 2 years.
But I figured I should get, you know, the winter tires and the oil change while I was there, just to, you
sure.
know.
Oh, so it was your fault.
Exactly.
You asked too much of them. That's not fair.
Honestly.
They're just a poor little business, Rob.
They're not real good at, like, complicated.
You can't ask for more than one thing at a time.
So anyways, I get there, I'm told it's up on the thing. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it?
It's up on the thing?
Well, it'll be a couple of minutes. It just it's almost done. So 5:30. 6:30, I'm like, fuck, we're getting close to record time again. I better make this. But it's fine. I think 6:30 I ordered food thinking I'll be home, you know, whatever. Rach shouldn't starve.
I recall you had a banh mi sandwich. Right?
I did order a banh mi sandwich.
Oh.
It's still waiting.
7:30 rolls around. We're supposed to start recording. Car is still not done.
Mm-hmm.
8 o'clock. It's finally like coming down.
Then
guy is in there himself trying to fix something on the floor. He gets up. He starts backing it out. I pay the man, and he's like, "Did you say something was wrong with the heat?" And I was like, "Yeah, you know, it was on the list for 2 days. It's fine.
Don't worry."
But so I watched a whole other guy who didn't work for this shop replace his door harness, like tear his whole door apart, replace all the electronics in his door, put it back together, and leave. While they did my car,
that's awesome. Were you just in someone's house?
Like, was this like an Etsy shop, car shop?
It definitely had a big garage door. So then finally, we're all paid up. He's backing out. I'm like, okay, I'll you get it out of your garage. I'll wait there. I walk down to the end of the driveway, and I turn around, and he's under the hood again. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I walk back over there. Oh, your light, your front light went out while I was driving.
Because I hit it with this wrench.
I pay the man. And he's like, oh, yeah, one more thing. I lost a socket in your car. If you find that, could you bring it back to me? And then insult to injury, I get home. I'm looking at what I paid, and he charged me for 11 oil filters instead of one.
Well, you have 11
I know. It was just a fucking to-do. But anyways.
Well, you know, the socket wrench, basically, you took it because I lost it in your car, so I charged you for the socket wrench. Mm-hmm. But we don't have socket wrench in the computer, so I just put 11 oil filters to cover the cost. Oil filter,
I'm sorry. I would have given you a discount or something.
It was a to-do.
Wait, your car doesn't use 11 oil filters?
But I made it Dice James' problem.
And you know, the worst part is he just locked eyes with you and probably gouged you anyway at the end, you know? He just, because you can't do anything. You can't negotiate. He's probably just like, oh, and by the way, it'll be $400 as opposed to the $100 I quoted
you. I definitely get more the vibe that they are, that shop is overwhelmed and a chaotic nightmare, but not inherently malicious. Like they do good work every other time I've been there. But the fact that they charged me, like I sat in the shop after they had it for 2 days, I sat there for 3 hours and he charged me for 2.5 hours labor.
So they started work after you got there to pick your car up.
Yeah, like
he was like, fuck, he's back. He came for his car.
Fucking mess. Can you imagine? I thought we were getting a free car out of this, but this guy is...
If every other time you go there, they fuck it up.
Rob, if you go back, I swear to God.
They've never given me a problem before, and they're so close to my house. Can you imagine the
Rob,
pain
just don't
in the
go
ass?
Next time. Go the time after. That'll yeah, be perfect.
That's what I'm saying. So go. If you go, if they fuck it up every other time, so next time, go for like something like, got a little scratch. Can you buff it?
You come back and your door is gone.
Yeah.
What if they're running a business where they're taking customers' cars and like delivering pizzas with them on the 2 days that they make people wait extra?
Mike, you got to get back here. Rob needs his car. Quick, deliver those pizzas. It's fuck a, it. I'll text him.
It's a mess.
Go, go, go.
I did banh mi sandwiches in my backseat.
Whoa, your own car delivers your banh mi sandwich?
The insult to injury was that Rob got home and he accidentally drove over the banh mi that was waiting for
him. Oh, damn.
And that he still feels a loyalty to. I can sense it. I can sense that you have no qualms about going back. Be honest with us right now. You have no qualms about going back.
Convenience is a real selling point for me.
It's 15 minutes down the road.
You know what, though? I'm the same way. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but if it's just down the block.
I've had a relationship with this shop for a decade, have lived here. Like, it's like
clearly that's been in your benefit with the example of this story too. Mm-hmm. Well, we know him. We can abuse the fuck out of him.
I was gonna say it's an abusive relationship.
Can I ask, was he at least like apologetic?
Not particularly, until I pointed out the 11 oil filters, and then he was like, oh yeah, okay, come by and we'll
take your fucking car.
Oh wow, like it was your fault too.
Yeah, I know, like it's, I don't know.
Nah, you shouldn't have still. You should have said something earlier, whatever.
How much do 11 oil filters run you?
They're $15 a piece, so it's like $165 with tax and all that.
Well, that's not bad.
What? Yeah.
So come on down to, what is this place? You don't want to even
I'm
name
not
this
gonna
place.
I'm not
going to
name it.
Don't name it. No. I just keep thinking about how in the chat this whole time, like Rob's giving us the live updates of how this is going in the group chat. And at one point, like, Joe, you made the comment that, like, every mechanic there is just has, like, one customer waiting for a car, seeing who has to wait the longest. Describing Rob as, that looks like a guy who has a sandwich at home.
Yeah, it's a game show.
That guy really unhappy.
I was doing my best to be real sympathetic about Rob's situation, and Alex, you were just shitposting the fuck out of chat.
I was having a good time.
I don't have a car. Fuck this.
I mean, I appreciated it. It did make the wait feel less long somehow. I didn't feel quite so alone.
You know, we go to like a name brand place, like a you know, that's like part of a, you know, what do you call it? Like Tim Hortons is part of a
the
franchise chain,
like a Master Mechanic or something.
Yeah, it's like a Master. Well, it is a Master Mechanic. I didn't want to say it, but I was like, why the fuck do I care? Yeah, it's a Master Mechanic, and we went there, And I dropped my car off to get it sort of all tuned up before the baby because the engine light was on and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And, you know, not a dissimilar story, frankly, but we have two cars, so it was much less important to wait on. We're just using the other car.
Yeah.
And literally it went in and he's like, oh, you don't have to worry about like getting this back tomorrow, do you? Can we take some time with it? I was like, yeah, that's fine. Like, no worries. Do the whole thing. And like a week rolls by. I think it was like almost 2 weeks roll by, which again, I wasn't too perplexed by. But I figured they'd call me back at some point.
And there's a lot of work to be done. Like the gas tank needed to be replaced or whatever.
Fixed or whatever. So I call them and they're like, hi, yeah, who's this or whatever? I'm like, Harlan Guthrie. I'm like, I got dropped off the car. And they're like, oh, yeah. Okay.
We haven't got to it yet.
I was like, what? He goes, you know, the two people that own this franchise? Yeah, they left. He was like, I work at the other one and I just came over to take on all their business. And I was like, when I went in there to pick it up, like all they just like gutted the place. Yeah. Like there's like chairs missing and I don't know what happened. Yeah. And I was like, whoa. So I was like, you know,
you can't really blame them for that. It's not like that.
Well, that's why I wasn't angry at them, but I thought it was really funny that here we were like, you know, and we had, you know, again, similarly, a relationship somewhat. Like you'd recognize the person when you come in because they do all your work or whatever. Just totally they up and left. It's like, oh yeah, and they took the clients with them.
They
like,
they just decided to start a new life elsewhere. In your car? Oh my God. Mm-hmm. My trick is just not owning a car.
I mean, it's
a good trick.
It works.
Yes. Oh, I just borrow my mom's like the eternal teenager I am.
Good way to stay young.
But here we are finally sitting down for another session. Yeah. Rob's car on fire outside.
Everyone picture Jack in his car for the rest of this
episode.
I tucked it in to bed before I came up here, so we're ready to record. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Small is your car? Or how big is your bed?
Speaking of escaping your life, you know?
I'm just curious as to like what kind of car each character would drive.
Like,
I think
Red to drive like a little like Italian red car, you know, like with the little half windshield, like it just comes up 5 inches above the dash, like one of those little like tiny 1950s racers.
He drives like a fucking asshole.
Yeah,
face full of
bugs. And he's got like a really long scarf
like
too.
A Fiat. You know?
He's full of bugs.
Yeah,
because the windshield's too short. He's so tall, so his head's he's just getting pelted. He's like snacks while driving.
Yeah, the bugs are all in his teeth.
Yeah,
delicious.
I feel like Jack would drive a PT Cruiser because at one point someone thought it was in fashion and bought one, and then it was like not, and so it kind of hand me down from dad at some point to be like get this out of here.
Just, I can see that.
Like that's the vibe I get.
I also feel like Red doesn't drive his car very much because he can't afford gas.
Well, I picture like to be clear, like he's driving, but he's like destroying the like you know the
oh
like,
yeah
the
yeah
gear
the transmission
shift. Like,
is
you know like it's so but he doesn't care, he's like
clutch is grinding. Yeah,
I imagine that Murray either drives like one of those like late 90s revival VW bugs where they had like a little thing that you could put flowers in on the dash, or she drives like an original Mini Cooper, but she's like too tall, so her knees are up like that too tall guy in The Simpsons. This is the tallest car I could afford.
You think the size of my car is funny?
Just full of water.
I can also see her on a moped for some reason.
Oh, I can see
that. Wait, what color is the car?
Blue.
Naturally, yeah.
What about red? Is Red's car red?
Yeah.
That tracks.
Very on the nose.
Doran's got like one of these like jacked up pickup trucks. Is like so big. I need a ladder
truck
to get
nuts.
In, and I'm sitting on like
truck
a couple
nuts.
Of phone books just so
real
I can see
tiny
out the freaking window.
He's maybe like a yellow Hummer.
Strapping blocks to my feet so I can reach the pedals. I'm thinking bigger, like monster truck size, you know?
Very good, very good.
Overcompensating.
Instead of truck nuts, he's got little bum blush. That
These little bum cheeks that are... Yes,
like
that's
that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I want someone on Etsy to make that for you, Alex. I'm going to give it to you for your birthday next year.
The bum
somebody's
blush.
Crocheted a little bum that's blushing.
And Joe...
Just a tiny bum.
You just drive...
Mm-hmm. And Joe's driving.
Joe drives an airplane.
Joe's
a Batmobile.
Just a little biplane.
Mm-hmm.
No, a truly
let's play
D&D. Flying car.
Yeah, let's do
it. Let's do it.
Good idea. All right.
Beep, beep.
Soon.
Nice. Gorgon's Tavern is a dive bar. It's one of those holes in the wall that feels like it's been here forever. Each square foot of it containing some storied relic. Yes, it is hewn from the stone of the Scarborough Cavern, and its walls, sconces, tables, and bar are all decorated with the sculptures it is known for, all manner of creatures seemingly frozen mid-flight, as if paralyzed by the breath of the Gorgon. But the fear on their faces is made less gruesome by the gentle hand of the artists who carved them, and also by the ornament of years that now clothes them. The thundering Rothae that form part of the bar, whose head is turned to look over its shoulder, sports lengths of yellow and blue ribbons that have been twined around its horns, for example. And in the corner, a petrified drow's swooning figure wears a sign with dwarvish text that loosely translates to an "I'm with stupid" joke. The bar hasn't changed that much in the decades since you used to frequent it, Doran. As the party peers through the slats into the main room, you are overcome by nostalgia for a different time. Doran, Lauren, and Gorin are little dwarflets, beards barely coming in, the three of you here together. It's not your first time, and it sure as hell won't be your last.
Lauren, hurry up! There's a coin purse over there! Shh, stay quiet and get low! I bet you if we steal another coin, we can go back to the kitchen and the cook will give us some more of the beef. That fresh beef that Mom loves.
Lauren, you guys know that we're going to get in trouble.
This is Gorin, of course, the whinging of the three of you.
Gorin, don't worry about it. We got this. Lauren and I, we're on top of this. We've done it so many times. Remember last summer when I did it and we never got caught? But Gorin, you aren't with us. Just trust me.
Doran crawls under the table after Lauren, and Lauren reaches into the purse on the ground, and just as an older dwarf reaches down and picks it up, he's able to snatch a coin. Doran turns to Lauren and says,
"Quick, now let's get to the kitchen. We can get that steak like Mama loves."
Lauren scuttles his way here and there around the dwarf legs that are kicking from high benches. All three of you have these holes worn in the knees of your pants from scurrying around. maybe you take this same back way into the kitchen through the walls, past your names that you've carved in the darkness.
Lauren, watch out for that Tressum. You know he's a real mean bastard. He'll try to just cut us up with his claws. You just stay out of his way. Mom will kill me. You're my younger brothers. Gorin, hurry up.
All right.
When you make it into the kitchen, there are bubbling cauldrons of bland stew and these lovely dwarven bread rolls coming out of the oven, and the three of you dodge around where the cooks are busily preparing a haunch of some kind of subterranean meat.
And there was always that one cook that seemed to be okay with the young dwarves running around, and he was the one that would give us a wink and hold his hand low so we could put a coin in his hand, and then he'd sneak off the grill a big piece of meat.
You three staying out of mischief, all right?
Oh, yeah, we are. Thanks for this, mister. We owe you one.
He gives you a haunch.
Yeah. And we'd scurry back under Gorgon's Tavern.
Oh, this is so good. I can't believe how good they make these steaks. Hey, Gorin, what do you think? Do you like it?
Yeah, Gorgon's Tavern is the best. I love this place. High five, brothers.
High five. I love you guys.
Iron Fist forever!
Iron Fist forever!
And the three of you put your three little hands in the middle and eat greasy hunks of meat into your stubbled faces. In the space behind the wall, the party looks on as Doran stares through the crack.
Doran, are you crying? What's wrong?
I'm just remembering good times with my many a good memory here.
Oh, Doran.
Doran, you look back out through the spaces between the wooden walls, and once again you're greeted with a memory. But as a much older dwarf, you're 50 now, wiser in some respects. What are you doing?
He's sitting at a table in Gorgon's Tavern with his cousins, Jolgat and Gotir.
All right, Jolgat, it's your deal. Hopefully we don't win this one. Sorry, Gotir.
I love this game, Doran. Oh, you're the best. All right, hold on. Okay, look, I got three.
Here we go. Oh.
Wands.
Oh, Gotir, you're out again. You idiot.
God.
You can't even play this game, can you?
He slams his cards down on the table and sweeps his hand across. All the coins just scatter everywhere onto the floor.
Oh, calm now, Gotir. Stop being such a foul sport.
You're cheating. This isn't fair.
It's not cheating. This is gambling. Just because you're losing doesn't mean we're cheating, all right?
I've had enough of the two of you. You always ganging up on me.
Oh, nobody's ganging up on you, Gotir. Stop being such a little whiny baby.
Yeah, take it easy.
Jolgat. The next round's on you. Let's treat Gotir. He seems to be losing, and he's just not very happy about it. You know?
Jolgas raises his hand to the bartender, and we see a younger version of Girin Blunto, the same man as is currently occupying the bar. He comes around with tankards for the three of you.
Yeah. Get all three of us, would you, Jolgat? This one can't get along with us because he keeps losing.
And he turns to Gotir and he says, you're really going to have to start, understanding that sometimes you play, you win, sometimes you play, you lose. You can't just have everything your way.
Depends on what game you're playing. Next time, I pick the game.
All right.
And then he gets up and leaves. In the present day, Girin Blunto has just finished applying the wanted poster featuring the Reds Rovers gang to the wall of the bar, tucked in amongst other leaflets advertising block parties, dulcimer lessons, a couple other wanted posters. He returns to his post behind the bar, but his eyes linger there on that wanted poster, on the illustration of your faces. And after a moment, he goes back over to the wall and removes it, bringing it back to the bar with him.
Oh, thank God. I think I looked bad in that. Did I look bad in that?
I wasn't really paying attention.
My jowls, they're not that jowly. I need a trim. I need a little shave around my scruff, you know?
It hardly even looks like you. It had ears.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So much odd of me always has ears. I don't get it. Like, I understand that maybe these wanted poster artists want to add ears to me, but canonically that's not me, and it's frustrating. Sorry.
What does canonically mean?
What? Oh, hi, Alistair. I forgot you're still a thing.
He's not on the poster.
He totally is.
Oh, is he? Oh, never mind. Is this a thing that happens to you guys normally? Is this a thing that's happened before? Because I'm a little stressed.
Oh, no, my first time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that feels like the right approach.
No, not the first time. What are you talking about? The dwarves in Jalanthar, they wanted us, remember? That's about back when we were the Nightstone Four.
They didn't have a poster, though.
Oh, well, they didn't have a poster.
I think they did. I signed something.
That's very good. That's great. Oh, and Mari's like, she can feel the water running down her back. The stress is back. It's pouring out of her hair.
But we can't tell the difference.
No, you can't. She can, though.
I think she's slightly wetter.
I prefer like a poster to like the Hunt Lords where you never know when they're going to show up. At least these, it's like mortal dwarves, you know?
Hunt Lords? What the... right. Those. That's so season one.
What now? I'm behind on the canon. I'm sorry.
Is that word again?
Nothing to worry about now because we're currently wanted.
Feels nice.
It was Girim that put them up and then took them down?
Yeah, so some soldiers came in, gave him the poster. They exchanged some words. They left. He put it up, went back to the bar, and then was like, no, on second thought, and then pulled it down again.
Doran, what's going on? You're just staring out through the slats.
Yeah. Well, Girim put the posters up, and then he took them down.
Yeah.
You know, that says to me, like, maybe he's someone we can trust. What do you think?
Well, hey, look, when it comes to trusting people in this city, we're 0 for 1.
So yeah. Ultimately, it's your call if you want to take another swing at trusting somebody.
I mean, there was that dwarf with the trash fire earlier that was not too bad, I guess, but...
I don't remember
R.I.P. that guy.
Technically, we're one dead. For three, but dying. Who's counting?
I was.
Hmm.
Look, it seems like we're safe here for a moment, and this is quite the cool little hidey hole, Doran. Were you hiding back here when you were a little dwarflet?
I was.
Which is a word now?
And he points over to what looks like some sort of trap door.
And through there, that leads into the kitchen. Unless it's been blocked off since I was young, but it wasn't too obvious when I was young, so I'd be surprised.
Well, look, us being wanted adds another layer of complication. Now, we're not just hiding from the guard. Anyone who saw that might also be looking to get a spare bit of coin. Do we want to hang here and cool off for an hour or two?
Hmm. That might be a good idea, especially considering we flushed those guards down the shit drain outside.
Oh, yeah.
On the other hand, there's still... handing out the wanted posters. In an hour or two, maybe the word gets around town a little more as to who we are and that they're looking for us.
Also true.
Not that I'm, you know... Jack runs his hands through his fried hair.
Jack, you're not helping.
Listen, Giram put the posters up when the guards were in, and then he took them down when they left. Something tells me, like, he's probably someone we could put a bet on trusting. If you guys are open to it, I think I'll wait until he goes into the kitchen, and then we should go through that door. He kind of points at this hidden door again.
So small.
It is small, but you're skinny. You can fit through.
Oh, thank you. That's all I've been waiting for. Ever since that poster, it's been like, what do I even know about myself?
So, we're just kind of hanging back, and I guess when he goes through the door, we'll take a chance and scuttle into the kitchen.
Well, you know what? Maybe, look, it doesn't take all of us to talk to him. Why don't the three of us, while you go talk to him, maybe wrestle up some disguises?
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe there's some way we can get to the coat room from back here. Hey, Doran, is there a way we can get to the coat room from back here? Do dwarven bars have a coat room?
Storage room, something, anything.
With coats in it?
I guess there's a storage room.
Do dwarves wear coats?
And if memory serves me correctly, there's a loose... floor panel, and Doran kind of crawls down and points across
the
crawl
smaller space,
and he says, "In that corner, there's like a cloak room, sort of a coat room thing, and there's a loose panel."
I forgot. Just, dwarves don't have coats; they have cloaks. I'm so stupid.
Oh, jeez.
Gorgon's Tavern isn't so full right now. There's one dwarf that drinks alone at the bar, and a table off to one side holds the only other patrons, two dwarves, a tiefling, and a rock gnome who seem to be engaged in a quiet discussion over their tankards of ale. So if there are cloaks in the cloakroom, probably the only cloak you'd be able to steal that would belong to a medium-sized creature would be that tiefling's cloak.
What about the old trunk in the attic? Every building has an old trunk in the attic.
Do they have a lost and found something? Maybe some hats?
The Gorgon's Tavern Tickle Trunk.
Yeah.
Full of all the disguises you could need.
I do wonder about the lost and found for businesses that have been like run for hundreds of years. Is there like random crap in there that's been there for
that's
a
while? That's what I'm saying. You gotta put the trunk. Look, when I was running around the Copper Cup, I found many a trunk. Some with odd objects that made me question things about what you and Torin got up to at night.
Oh.
But most of them were just old clothes.
Oh, okay. Good.
Presumptuous.
Wow.
It's a lot of leather.
Yeah.
Red opens up a trunk full of, like, kitchen equipment. He's like, Torin and Jack.
Yeah, exactly.
What is this?
He has no idea.
Kinky bastard. He, like, picks up an egg beater. Oh, my God. Wow.
That looks painful.
Healthy romantic relationships must be so weird.
Not for me. Slide aside.
At least Red knows where his boundaries are.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Somewhere over yours is
always.
Well, his hair got caught in the whisk too. So.
All right, look, there has to be a lost and found, like Mari said, I agree. And there's the coat, so we can take one of the cloaks and look, Doran, you go deal with your friend. We'll make ourselves useful in preparing disguises.
Hmm. Sounds good. Just don't get in any trouble, okay, Red?
turn around, Red's already like eating something, like cheese with a like a mouse trap. Like, what?
Where did you get that?
You don't know how long that's been under the floorboards. That could be.
It tastes real bad.
Oh, he ate the mouse trap.
Yeah, it's also making my mouth numb.
It's just a few minutes, Doran, before Girim heads into the kitchen.
And that's when Doran takes his chance. He takes his shot and he attempts to open the little trap passageway door that leads into the kitchen.
There is absolutely something stacked on top of it. This bar has seen better days. When you were here, a frequenter of this city, this tavern was a busier place, but now there's like a empty skid. So it's not heavy, but you're going to like squeak to move it.
So I push this skid out of the way. Doran drops his disguise before he crawls into the pantry.
And the pantry that you enter into is dark. There's some, it smells of like dust and maybe rotten potatoes. But the door to the pantry is open and you see a well-lit kitchen beyond. It doesn't look like Girim has any other staff working here right now.
Doran kind of creeps up to the entrance of the pantry and pokes his head into the kitchen and very gently says, Girim?
The old dwarf turns from the cauldron that he was stirring and looks you dead in the eyes, searching you for a second before he recognizes you.
Doran Ironfist.
You remember me?
It's been half an age.
It has.
What are you doing in my pantry?
I think you're someone that I can trust.
And that's at that point when Doran steps out of the pantry and now fully into the kitchen.
Girim, it's been a long time. And he extends a hand for a handshake.
Girim looks you up and down, takes in your golden breastplate, the storied axe slung over your shoulder. And he takes your hand and shakes it.
I saw you take down the poster after the guards left.
You've been up to your old hiding spots then.
You remember?
I'll tell you truly, Doran. It crossed my mind to leave the poster up, and I still might.
I might just, I'm not here to cause you any trouble.
The bar's seen better days, and I can't afford to get in hot water, you see.
Seems to me that the city's fallen into some pretty corrupt times.
You're not kidding.
No.
It's so hard to make a living these days when you just 30 silver on the gold piece I owe to the city.
That's it's unbelievable.
What happened to you? What's your story?
I think Gautier has it out for me. And I think my mother's in some serious trouble.
Girim's eyes kind of glaze over a little bit at the mention of your mother, and he looks off into the distance.
I have fond memories of my mother. Of course, we didn't always see eye to eye, especially when my brothers went missing. But, hell, you know, you have to put things to your side. And I came back to see my mother, and it was Gautier that told me that that she's sick and didn't want to see me. But I'm finding it that less and less of what he says I can trust. And I don't know how I can prove this to you, but I've done nothing wrong. In fact, all the other three and the posters are my companions, my friends, who I came here with. And they're just here with me to try and find my mother and so I can have some peace with her. But I've had attempts on my life ever since I've walked into these halls, and you know what, there's something foul brew, and I know it's got a lot to do with Gautier, and if there's any way I can solve that problem while I'm here, by the hammer of Moradin, I'll do it.
I can't be seen helping you openly.
I don't want your help, not like that. I need some information. I want to know about my mother. I saw the way you reacted when I brought up her name the first time. What happened? Please, just share with me what you know. And I promise you, I'll stay out of your hair and I'll do what I can to help fix this city.
I haven't seen her in a decade.
Really?
Yeah, after your father died, I thought she might come by, but that woman's loyal to a fault and headstrong.
Yeah. I know where I get it from.
I hope she's well.
I don't think she is.
Listen, Doran. There's a gnome inside who's here to pick up a payment from me. I can see if maybe he can do me a favor.
And he walks into the tap room. Meanwhile, Jack, Alistair, Red, and Mari are up to their eyeballs in costumes.
Red's actually leaning over Alistair being like, just think small thoughts. All I'm saying is we don't need to worry about your costume if you shrink. And we know you can get big, so why can't you get small?
Okay, so when I got big, I was scared about Mari dying.
Or... That's why I'm trying to reassure you. Everything's great. You're pretty. You know? Come on.
And we know saying don't worry about it is the cure-all to every anxiety.
What I'm trying to is the opposite of Mari dying is Mari giving me a hug.
But she doesn't want to. She said she would talk to you later, and that is not now. It's later.
But what if that helps me turn into a tiny, tiny gnome?
Then I'll try hugging you again, and I'll make my hair wet again.
It doesn't work with you, Red. We've been hugging for 5 minutes, Red. It doesn't work.
All right, let me let go at least so we can talk properly.
Mari this whole time has been like trying, you know when you're like trying to not listen to something and you can't not do it? She has spent this entire time fussing with a jacket that Jack's trying to put on and like doing like little mending spells on it and just staring straight ahead, not looking back at this discussion behind her and just like not even making eye contact with Jack. She's like, I can't. Oh boy.
Yeah, it's definitely we're not talking because we're also not listening, quote unquote.
Yes.
But we're like, Red's purposefully opening this conversation. Like, he's not doing this through the side. He's doing it like inches away from you two. We're all just like, yes. He's like openly, because she doesn't want to. And he's like stretching an arm out and hitting Mari.
And I feel like Red is fully outfitted already, like kitted top to bottom.
This is entirely Red's justification for not giving the cool coat that he saw to Alistair, despite it not really fitting Red right now. Like, Red's like, if Alistair's small, I don't have to give this to him. So get small.
Alistair just starts to hold his breath.
Yeah, maybe that'll work. And then Red turns to Jack and he's like, maybe he'll die again and at least that'll be one less thing to worry about.
Hey, Jesus.
No. I didn't say I want him to die. I said if he's going to hold his breath and die, that... Oh, you guys are so sensitive.
I'm not taking off this cloak.
It's a good cloak.
It's a great cloak. You keep the cloak, Red. Nobody's going to take the cloak from you.
Well, now you make it seem like I'm being petulant.
I would never.
Do you know what that word means?
I know what sarcasm means. Oh. I think.
That's where you fall if it's like a...
I know. It's a big, deep chasm.
Big pit.
Anyway, whatever. Look, we got our costumes. Let's go back and get Doran.
You guys have to squeeze back through the hole in the cloakroom to get back into the space between the walls.
And with three cloaks on, it's so difficult for Red.
Jack somehow found the only one with bells on it.
Oh, Jack. Always attractive.
It's so right in. It's...
I can't help it.
I really like it, actually. I don't usually, but...
You are just in time to get back to the spying area to see Girim Blunto approach the table of drinkers and begin a conversation.
And it's at that moment Doran has crawled back through because he hears the whispering voices.
Girim has a kind of quietish conversation with the rock gnome, sort of inviting him off to a different side table. And the two of them sit down together.
Is he selling us out right now? Doran, is he selling us out right now?
Did you trust this guy?
He says he's willing to help us. I think he's being honest. I think he's being, he's someone that we can trust.
How do you know he's being honest? Did you even roll inside on him?
No, it's just a gut instinct I have after talking to the DM. Something Something she said made me think that he was distrusted.
Well, you can't meta my meta. I'm the meta one. Doran, look.
Listen, he seems like trustworthy. I know him. I've known him for a long time.
Yeah, but Doran, look around at this bar. There's no patrons in there. I mean, maybe he took down our poster because he thought he'd be able to lure you in with your relationship. I mean,
yeah,
a little bit of money would go a long way in a place like this.
He's hurting right now. He's hurting for money because the taxes that Gautier has put on the town are just insane.
Yeah, well, how big is the bounty on our head?
I don't know. I didn't really get that good of a look on the poster, but I told him that we would do whatever we could to help out the city.
I guess. Jack, Mari, back me up here. This guy's at least reason to doubt he's going to help us, right?
I mean, we got to have all our options open, right? Like, if we're surrounded right now, how the hell are we getting out? We got to have an eye on the back door.
Exactly.
We do really have to keep our options open. Jack's right, because...
No, I'm right.
You know, maybe
I was
you
one
know
was.
Him. And, oh, sorry. Red's right. Maybe he... You know him from your past, but you've been gone a long time, and we need to have a plan to get out of here if things go pear-shaped.
No, absolutely.
At least you didn't tell him that all four of us were here, right?
Did you tell him all of us were here?
Doran?
Well, I mean...
Doran, I swear to God, I'm going to turn into a spider and leave so fast.
Guys, I haven't...
Hey, so you've got an exit plan, that's
I'm
good.
I'm going to make like a spider and abandon you.
My exit plan is turn into a bug and leave.
That's always your exit. That's not even your exit plan. That's normally your plan.
I feel like Murray wants to go retire and be a spider. So just find a nice corner somewhere.
Guys, I am half spider right now. I love that, like, mid-fight with Murray. Like, one of her legs just goes... Phew. She's like angry. She's like, I will turn the other one into a spider and I'm half out the door. It's like calling a bluff.
One foot in the web over here. Let me out of here.
You look over. She's weaved a little hammock.
So help me. Yeah.
Forearms behind her.
Look, Doran, we need to play this smart. Whatever he offers you, okay, take it with a grain of sand, assault, or whatever small things are, because you don't know how far he's willing to go to get whatever reward there might be. I want to believe you. Believe me, we all do. And he's a good guy, and he just wants to help out. But if things are really as bad as they may seem in this city and in this bar, I also can't blame him for looking at the possibility of his friend out there being one of the guard.
I want to believe he'll help us.
Well, of course, that's what I know. I yes, that's what I just
no, I,
we all agree.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just we need a win.
Well, yeah. I mean,
we need to get out of here.
Well, a win would be not getting trapped. Let's put it that way. A win
Let's define it real.
Like, a win would be not dying in this wall.
Exactly, that would be a real win, and if that means getting out ahead of the trap, then the wind would be rolling in sight next time you speak to him.
or you know, like, he's gone to talk to that gnome. And apparently that gnome, he owes the gnome money or he needs to do a delivery or something. I forget exactly what he said.
You guys look out at the bar and there's a dwarf in full guard regalia who's come into the bar with another wanted poster and he's gesturing with the poster. Giram goes over and Giram takes the poster from the soldier and looks at it closely. Soldier's clearly going like, hey, have you seen these people?
Oh, no.
Mari's a spider.
So long, suckers!
Oh, that tension, where'd it go? We've been trying to build it for...
Thank you to our wonderful patrons Adam Fry, Afflicted Adina, Aizu Yukai, Allison Wrights, Merlin, Anne, Atholagoth, Axel, Barry Jennett, Casey, Cecil Lee Wilson, Sherry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Daniel, Dippity, Flynn, Gareth Bradshaw, Haley, Harper the Mox, JD, Joy Robinson, Julie Holderman, Jory, KR, KM, Cade, Lasagna. Last Ruth on the left. Leader J. Liz. Lorelei Feldman. Manda Pants. Merrick Smoon. Matilda Rushing. Melinda Curley. Moon. Oakland. Quill Bennett. Regan. Wren. Scotty. Shannon Waldner. S-Ray 96. Tegan. Tea Kettle. Tony Pepperoni. Trin. Waffle 427. Xander Morning Dove. Zach House. And Zephyrus. Thank you so much! Woo!
Doran kind of creeps up to the edge, the entrance of the pantry, and pokes his head into the kitchen. And very gently says,
Hello?
Master of disguise.
Hello?
And he kicks him off the wall.
Hello, this is Doran.
not Doran, French Doran. Les yeux.
It's me, Doreen, friend of Gautier. Looking for my son. Jerem Blunto is such a Star Wars weed name, and I can't unthink
Whoa.
That. Sorry.
Oh, it's true.
Blunto. Star Wars weed?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST anbefaler.
Mit navn er Anders Morgenthaler. Overfor mig sidder
Roald Bergmann.
Vi har lavet en ny podcast, der hedder Dopaminklubben.
Og Dopaminklubben er en klub, hvor ADHD er fucking sjovt, og for det griner. Det behøver ikke at være super alvorligt.
Vi er skide trætte af alle de der podcasts, der forklarer mig og nederen der. Vi gør grin med vores ADHD. Mulig ADHD.
Ja, vi udreder mig, fordi nogen siger, at jeg har det. Jeg ved det ikke rigtigt, det finder vi ud af.
Vi har i hvert fald lavet vedmål. Ind og lyt til Dopaminklubben. Hver uge udkommer vi. Der laver vi sjov og spas med at have den her vidunderlige dopaminmangel.